I want to talk to you today. I'm kind of continuing the mindset. It's not really a series yet, but I sense the Holy Spirit wants to give you some practical tools on how to change your life. Now, I'm just asking. Does anybody need anything changed in their life? If that's you, raise your hand. If you're not, hands not up. You're lying. You need to work on that, Amy. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Okay, so I want to talk about being able to change your life, be able to really have substantial change in your life. Transformation that sticks. Has anybody ever lost 20 pounds? Has anybody ever gained that 20 pounds back? Okay. So what is that? That's not sustained. That's not substantial because it's, but God has a system that I want to teach you today where you can have transformation that is sustained and significant. Real transformation. But here's what I got to talk to you about before we get started. You have to have a willingness to look and examine what's really has gone on in your life. Let me illustrate. I'm going to show you some things in the Word of God that might come against what you've been taught in the past. And what we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to grab a hold of what we've been taught in the past and say, that's right, that's right, that's right. Listen, my father was a Baptist minister, and I grew up in small Baptist churches learning a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff. But my father, theologically, didn't teach me perfectly. Hello? And what we have a tendency, here's what it is. It's like, Pastor, don't talk about my mama. Can I tell you something about your mama? Your mama's not perfect. She was too. No, she wasn't. No, she was. You know what? And so here's what happened. For many of us, we were raised up in wonderful churches. Churches where people love God. The pastor, let me tell you what. If you want to see a good pastor, look at my father. My father, if any of you know him, my father was an excellent pastor. And so I have a tendency to look at everything he did and just say, it was all good. Okay. And when I do that, I'm in trouble. So what I'm warning you against, because many of you were raised in Baptist churches, okay? And much of the theology was great. But I'm going to expose something today that you have to have a willingness to break free and go, and have a willingness to go, that all was good, but this part was unbiblical. Hello. Some of you were raised in a four-square church. Some of you were raised in an Assembly of God church. Some of you were raised in a Catholic church. Some of you have these fond memories of your, many of you weren't raised in a church at all. But you still have to have an openness to recognize you can think something is right and it's not right. And let me warn you on this. Understand this. You know what is the, do you know there's something that will cause the Word of God to have no effect in your life? Do you know what it is? Here's what the Bible says. That the tradition of men will cause the Word of God to have no effect in your life. Here's why it does it, because you won't let go of that tradition. You won't say this, let God be true and every man a liar. Why? Not because necessarily you're a bad person, but because you have these fond memories of stuff that you just think is great. And listen, and again, many of them were great, but you have to have a maturity to look at what you've learned and recognizing, even though much of it is good, some of it can be wrong. Somebody got an open mind on this one? Okay, and please understand this. I am not going to show you one scripture. I'm going to show you many scriptures. Everybody say many scriptures. Okay. That will help you to break free of the non-victory that many people walk in. And they call themselves Christians. I believe they are Christians, but they're not walking in victory in their life. So that's not good. Amen. Because God wants us to be victorious. And he's given us the word, but we have to allow God's word to dictate to us what's truth. Are we together? I said, are we together? Yeah. Will you do that with me? Even if it comes, will you at least be open-minded to seeing something in the word that I want to show you today? Okay, but here's what I want to say. I want to bait you. I want to encourage you. It will help you walk in victory in areas where you haven't walked in victory. Are you guys excited about this? Good. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. You ever see something in the Word of God, and when you read it, you just think, that is weird. That's weird. You know what I mean? This is a scripture that just is a little weird, and I'll explain why it's weird in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. Interesting, not the verse that I want to stick on, but interesting that we would talk about that for a minute. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. Listen, God wants us to cleanse ourselves from not some filthiness, but all filthiness. You know what? I think sometimes in the body of Christ, we are too comfortable with filthiness. And we need to recognize, no, what God wants us to do is cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Ooh, that's good words, huh? Everybody say perfecting holiness. In the fear of God. Next verse. Here's what I want to get to. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. That's weird. Here's why. Because I know that the person who wrote that did all kinds of crazy stuff to some people. But Paul says this. Paul says, I've wronged, not a few. Paul doesn't say, oh, I've only wronged a few people. He doesn't say that. He says, I've wronged no one. Now, let me show you this. Turn to that next scripture, guys, in the back. It's in Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Look what this says. For Saul, that's Paul, for Saul made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. That doesn't sound to me like you've wronged no one. Can I tell you what? These people weren't doing anything wrong except loving and serving God. But Paul is dragging, everybody say dragging. He says, not like, oh, I'm sorry, can you turn around? I need to handcuff you. That's not what's going on. He is breaking into homes and dragging people into prison. And they're not just men. He's dragging women. Well, what about their kids? I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm not concerned with that. Whoever's left in the house, figure that out. Hello? How many in real time this is happening? That doesn't sound like having harmed no one. Does it to you? Okay. So what's going on here? Well, I'm gonna show you what's going on here. I'm gonna show you what Paul has figured out. I'm going to show you why Paul has the tenacity and the, what's that word? Audaciousness? Thank you. Audaciousness. What was the word again, Mickey?
Audacity.
Why he has the audacity to say, I have wronged no one. Now I'm going to show you another portion of scripture. Turn to the scripture in Romans chapter 7. And let me show you. Paul also wrote this, Romans chapter 7. And we'll start with verse 14. Listen to what he says. This is Paul. And he says this, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I do, that I do not, for what I will to do, I do not practice. But that what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then the law of evil is present with me, and the one who dwells to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Then he says this, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from a body of death? Now, most of us, when we read that, have you ever heard that passage of scripture before? Most of us, when we read that, can I tell you, and many of you today, as I read it, here's what happened. You identified. How many identified with Paul there? And many of you, let me tell you where you identified with Paul. You identified in this place, that which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I don't want to do, I do that. Hello? Here's my point. My point is, you put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. How many know you can have a word? I wish I could think of a word. But you can change how it even, you can't even understand it. I had a friend, and he was from Germany, and he talked about buying some Adidas. I thought, oh, we don't have those shoes in America. You know what I mean? What was he saying? He was saying Adidas. And he said about four times, you know, you have Adidas. And I was like, no, we don't. We don't even have those shoes. I didn't even know what he's saying. And then later on, I thought, oh, I know what Adidas. And then he said, yeah, that was what he said, Adidas. Okay. What's the problem? You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, and you're going to get a different meaning. We read that, and because we identify with certain points of the verses, we don't understand what he just said. We identify with when he says, and he's being honest, and I'm not saying that he is not struggling with this, but I want to show you something that I believe most people have never seen before, and if you've seen it before, you need to see it again today. Because let me tell you the problem. I'll just tell you right out the problem. The problem, the reason why you're not having victory in that area in your life is because you see yourself as that old man, not the new man. And Paul, even in this passage, will not identify with the old man. He will only identify with the new man. If you smoke dope, and I hope you don't, but if you smoke dope, can I tell you why you smoke dope? This is deep. Are you ready? You smoke dope because you are a dope smoker. Okay, Pastor, that is deep. Here's the deal. Here's what's going on. You identify, you start smoking dope maybe when you're in junior high, maybe when you're in high school, maybe in college. At some point, you start smoking dope, and you know what? And that's just what you do. You just, that's who you are. That's who you identify with. I'm going to show you in this passage of Scripture, Paul will not identify himself in any way in the old nature. Amen. Look at verse 14. And see, I read this, but probably many of you never even saw it. Look what Paul says. Look what he says. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. No, 17. Did I say 14? Go to 17. But now, very critical. Everybody say, but now. Everybody say, but now. Now, all eyes up here. He's saying, I wasn't saved before, but now I'm saved. Everything changes when you get saved. The Bible says, old things are passed away. All things have become new. Everything's changed. So Paul says, but now that I'm saved, now that I'm born again, now that I'm saved, it is no longer I who do it, but sin dwells in me. So when I was sinning, I won me. See, he won't identify with his old nature. Well, listen to me. This is hard to understand. Even if he's doing it, he won't identify it with it. See, let me teach you something. You think things before you do things. Amen? You think things before you do things. No, every all the time. Every time. Now, the reason you think you don't is because sometimes you think so fastly, so quickly. But you think before you do things. That's how it works. Even if it's your subconscious mind, you're still thinking before you do things. The subconscious mind just thinks so quickly. We'll talk about that because you can change that. I'll show that to you in the Word. But what I'm saying is Paul will not identify. Look what he says. But now it is no longer I who do it. Say that with me. It's no longer I who do it. Everybody, it is no longer I do it. I will not identify with that old nature. That is how you're going to be victorious. That is how I'm going to be victorious in any area in my life, whether it's lust, whether it's anger, whether it's, you know what, drugs, whether it's alcohol. And let me say this about drugs and alcohol. Listen, the reason why drugs and alcohol are not good for you is because it's a deception. It's a phony. It's a fake. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, it's emptiness, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the one who can intoxify you. Intoxify you? Who can get you drunk, amen? Is that not right? See, remember the day of Pentecost? They're all in the upper room. Holy Spirit came in. What did people think? They thought they were drunk. Paul, like, we ain't drunk, man. We are happy. Amen? The Holy Spirit can make you happy without the negative side effects. Amen? Paul says, I won't identify with that old nature. I will not. Look at verse 20. He says it again. Verse 20. Now if I do what I will not to do, look what he says. It's no longer I who do it. I will not identify that. Even if I'm doing it, I won't identify with. And you say, that's crazy. No, that's right. Because that's how you're going to get out of your mess. You know how many people tell me, oh, I'm bad with names. I'm awful. I'm the worst. Okay, can I tell you what? This is deep. Are you ready? You're bad with names. But it's not because you have to be. It's because that's how you identify with. That's who you are. That's who you. And so here's what happens. We get born again. And when we get born again, God's Spirit comes inside of us. And that Spirit, how many know your spirit man, the Spirit God that lives inside you, always makes the right choices? The Spirit man, always. Oh, every say always.
Always.
Always. Well, start identifying with that guy. Because that guy lives inside you too. Amen. And let me tell you about that guy. That guy is who you are. Are you learning something? And then we stop at verse 24. Can I teach for a little bit? We stop. Look at verse 24. We stop at verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from a body of death? He's asking a question. We put a period there. We put an exclamation point there. We think that he stopped there. Oh, the letter stopped there. We read. Here's what we do. We read chapter 7. We say, oh, we're done. Listen, Paul didn't write this that way. The Holy Spirit didn't write it that way. This was a letter. And the letter, it just was continual. You couldn't tell the difference. The only reason there's that chapter and verse are put in there, so you and I can turn quickly to the same place that the letter is. But in the letter, he says, who's going to save me from this mess? And he has the answer. We read that and go, man, I'm just like the puzzle Paul, man. I didn't even want to smoke marijuana no more. I went to my buddy's house. They played football, you know what I mean? And then they pass it around. And, man, I was smoking what I didn't want to smoke. Listen, I'm just like the Apostle Paul. No, you're not. Here's why. Because you identify with that part. And Paul says, let me tell you what. When I do bonehead things, that's not who I really am. And that mentality is going to get you out of your mess. See, your behavior is all after your thought pattern, your thinking. So all you have to do is change how you think about you, and you'll change your behavior. And you change your behavior forever. Are you catching this? See, the issue is, who are you going to identify with? You're going to identify. Here's what the Bible says. Put on garments of righteousness. Right? The Bible says, put off the old nature. See, you have to remind yourself, you are not, especially if you've had a pattern of whatever the issue is. Whatever the issue is. Some of you, you know what? You don't smoke dope. But you have a pattern of anger. You know what I mean? Some of you don't have a pattern of anger, but you have a pattern of lust. Some of you don't. You're like, man, I don't lust, and I'm not. You know what? And I'm not angry, and man, I don't smoke dope. But you're selfish. I am smiling, right? Listen, and so what I'm saying is, whatever pattern you have, that's what pattern you think, well, that's who I am. And you have, if you're gonna break free of this, you have to start seeing yourself as a non-pot smoker. You need to see yourself as not selfish, but generous. You need to see yourself, you know what, in not lusting, but having self-control. So you have to put on the new man, the Bible says. Are you learning something? Come on. Are you learning something? Now look at verse 25. I thank God. Watch this. See the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself will serve the law of God. That's the key right there. With your mind, you're going to serve the law of God. Everybody say, with my mind. See, here's what happened. You could have been in bed and stayed in bed today, but with your mind, you said, no, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to church. How do you serve God? With your mind. You make a decision, because let me tell you about your spirit. Your spirit is already all in. Your spirit, when you woke up this morning, your spirit's like, go to church, go to church, go to church, go to church, go to church. Church is so awesome. You love church. You know, your spirit is like, church. Right? And what's your flesh? Your flesh is like, pillow. How are you going to serve God? You're going to serve God with your mind. You're going to say, get yourself up and go to church. Every single one of you are here because you decided to serve God with your mind. So what do you do? Whoa, this wretched man. Hey, the wretched man can get unwretched. Because the wretched man ain't wretched. Listen, let me show you. Where do I want to go? Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Look what it says. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Pastor, is that a Southern version? Reckon yourself? No, that's not a, that was not a Southern version. Reckon is saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at things different now. I want you to look at yourself now, not like you used to look at yourself, but I want you to look at yourself now as dead to sin. I said in this first service, you know what? You can tempt, you can have a bottle of whiskey, you can have a doobie, you can have, it doesn't make any difference what sin it is. You can, if we're having a funeral and they have an open casket, and you can go right by the casket and go, dude, take a hit, man. This is good stuff. And that dead guy ain't going to be tempted at all. Can I tell you why? Because he's dead. See, and what you have to do is you have to consider, you have to reckon yourself dead to sin, but here's what you have, but alive to Jesus Christ. Are you catching this? See, the problem is you're identifying with the flesh, with the carnal man. That's who you are. And that's not who you are. Now, let me show you scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Look what it says. Now may the Lord of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may you be whole spirit, soul, and body. Everybody say spirit, soul, and body. Now, I turn to this scripture because it's interesting at the order that they have this. Look where they have it. They have it. What's first? Spirit. What's next? Soul. And what's third? Body. Everybody say spirit, soul, and body. That order is interesting to me because I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, this is who you really are. You're really a spirit. That's why I'm going to put that first. Now, I won't make a big argument there. I just think it's very clear. Spirit first, then soul, then body. But let me teach you this. Say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. See, we mix that up. We just talk about, particularly the spirit and the soul, we mix it up. We use it interchangeably. And they're not the same. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You're not your body. Your body is just your earth suit. That's all it is. And your body is going to be, you're going to be done with your earth suit one day, but you're still going to live. You are a spirit. Say, I am a spirit. I have a soul, but I live in a body. Now, let me show you where most people are. So there's these three components, and most people live like this. Most Christians live, here's where they live. Two against one. The one is the spirit. Remember what the spirit is? Church, church, church. Listen, your spirit always wants to be generous. Your spirit always wants to honor your wife in what you look at. Your spirit always wants to allow no outside source to stimulate you except the Holy Spirit to make you happy. Not drugs, not alcohol, not any of it. Your spirit always wants to make the right choices. Can you say amen? That's who you are. But over on this side, you got your soul and you got your body. And for most Christians, it's this tug of war. And you keep on living defeated lives because you won't reckon yourself dead to sin. So you got your spirit and you got your flesh and your soul tugging back and forth and back and forth. Here's what I want to say to you. Here's what I want to show you. Look at it. Look at it in Scripture. It's Romans. Where is it? It's Romans. It's Romans 8:5. Look what it says. Romans 8:5. The first part. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. I don't know why I always do. I do. I don't know why I always do. I don't know why I always do what I don't want to do. Man, I just broke up with that guy. And now I'm in a bad relationship again. I know why you do what you do. And God knows why you do what you do. And if you'll listen to me today, I can tell you why you do what you do. Here's why you do. Because you set your minds on the things of the flesh. Where'd you find that last guy? I'm being real. Where'd you find that last guy? Oh, I was just down there and you know what? In happy hour, and he came up and said, hey, baby. What's up? Amen, right? Where'd you find your new guy? Well, I just want to stop by happy hour. But this one's, no, here's what happened. You set your minds on the things of the flesh. That's the issue. That's the issue. And you got one against two. Here's what I'm proposing. I'm proposing that you change the dynamics today. Can I show you how you can make it two against one? Here, watch this. Get your soul and get them off your flesh side and bring them over to the spirit. I'm going to say that again and give you a bigger chance to say amen, because this will revolutionize your life. All you have to do is take your soul, the soul man, and bring them over to your spirit side. Now what do you got? Now you got two against one. How many know this is good? They said, Pastor, how do you do that? Well, that's simple. Reckon yourself dead to sin. Don't be conformed to the world, but be, are y'all looking? This is a soul man. But be transformed. I'm going to do it again. Some of you weren't looking. But be, this is soul man. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Get the soul over to the spirit side. How do you do that? Thank you for asking. The Bible says this. It says, here's what you do. Here's what James says. You look in a mirror. And
walk away and you go,
man, how do I really look? I'm just asking, how many of you have looked in the mirror in your lifetime? Probably like over 1,000 times. Yeah, exactly. Probably more like 10,000. Why? Because you forget what you look like. But then the Bible says this, but listen, what you ought to do is look, James says this first chapter, look at the perfect law of liberty. And here's what's going to happen. When you read your Bible every day, you start to see, oh my goodness, that's who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Wait. Jesus said in Revelation, he said that I am faithful. Oh my goodness. Peter says that I've been given everything I need. How many ever felt insufficiency in some way? Especially in being able to walk in righteousness. See, can I tell you, I'm not trying to rip on you if you had your hands up. Thank you for your honesty. Can I tell you why? Because you don't see who you are. The Bible says that you have been given everything you need, everything you need for life and godliness. So you start seeing and say, oh my goodness. I'm not, and it'll change everything. You're going to walk, listen, it will change everything. You're going to walk into that interview and you're going to think, you know what? These people, and it's going to sound arrogant, but it'll change everything. You don't walk in the interview, you're going to think, you know what? These people would be smart to hire me. I'm not talking about arrogant. I'm not talking about cocky. I'm talking about you're going to know that you have the Holy Spirit and you're going to be led by the Spirit and you're going to make, I heard years ago, Spirit-filled guy worked for Boeing. And he heard something. They were doing this major thing on this development on this jet. And this guy said, turn it off. Turn it off. And they just, it cost them thousands of dollars to fire this up. And everybody was like, turn it off. You know what? They turned it off. They found something that was in the engine that saved them millions of dollars. And that guy was able to discern that. Can I tell you what? There's things that are not discerned physically, but there are things that are discerned spiritually. That's the person who that company ought to hire. Oh, this is good preaching. And you're not going to go into it because why is that not going to make you cocky? Here's why. Because the Bible says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and he'll exalt you in due time. The Bible says he gives more grace to the humble. But you're going to have this confidence. It'll change everything. Here, let me give it to you again. Don't be conformed to the world, two against one, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind. Now, you have the same dynamics, but now you got two. You got your soul on this side. Are you learning something? So, Pastor, I can't. Shh, stop saying you can't. Think about it. Where do you get that I can't? Can I tell you what? Let me something this to you. You don't get that from the Word. So you're going to be reading your Bible and you're going to think, because we all think this stuff. You're going to be reading your Bible and you're going to say, oh my goodness, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who's that? That's who you really are. You're going to change your thinking through looking at the Word of God. That's how you get that spirit man over on this side. Or that's how you get that soul man over on this side. By renewal of the mind. Amen. Are you learning something? Yeah. He said, but Pastor, I've always had a... Here's the issue. The issue is, man should not live... Can I preach to you for a little while? Can I preach to you for a little while? Man should not live by bread alone. The problem is, you go by McDonald's and you skip breakfast and you're like, just 10:30, you're like, oh, I'm going to get something to eat. There's nothing wrong with eating. The problem is, Jesus says, you shouldn't live by that alone. That's all you're living by. Amen? And to be honest with you, come every Sunday and Wednesday. You're going to get a good meal. Amen. But I can't, but I can't feed you all the time. Bill Hybels, who pastors a large, very large church in Chicago, still has, but at this point in time, had tens of thousands of people coming to his services. And here's what he said. God showed us, the leadership of the church, here was the problem. We had developed all these people, and none of them were feeding themselves. And because none of them were feeding themselves, we had a whole church of people who were spiritually malnourished. And I was leading the whole thing. See, listen, you know, if you come, you know, how many know Wednesday you're going to hear a good word? Okay, let me try that again. That concerned me. How many know when you come Wednesday you're going to hear a good word? Okay, thank you. But see, Sunday and Wednesday, that's not enough. And the problem is, in that scenario, even if you come every Sunday and every Wednesday, and I encourage you to come every Sunday and every Wednesday, every Sunday and every Wednesday, every Sunday and every Wednesday. I encourage you every single morning, come every Sunday and every Wednesday. But even at that scenario, you still got one against two. Because in order to get this spirit man over on this side, you're going to have to be in your word. And I ask you, just read a chapter a day. If you want to read that same chapter twice, read it twice. If you want to read it three times, read it three times. But I encourage you, just get on the Bible reading. We have sheets outside. It's on the website. Just go to a Bible reading and just read. Usually it's just one chapter. Sometimes there's short chapters too. But just read a little portion every single day. Are you learning something? Okay. And last but not least. Okay. So what do we got? We got two against one. How many want to see three? Okay, zero. How many want to see that? Okay. Pastor, let's, no. I'm going to show it to you in the Word. Here's the deal. When I was raised up in my Baptist church that my father pastored, you know what? He would always tell us this. Always tell us this. Over. And I heard this so many times. I heard this all my life. We're just sinners saved by grace. Now, before you say amen, amen, don't say amen. Okay. Here's why. Because you're not just sinners. Are you born again? Then if you got born again, then all things are passed away. Behold, check it out, reckon, look at it, all things have become new. Stop seeing it like it was. Listen, you're not a sinner. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. So it's no wonder. You know what I mean? I mean, we'd go up to our youth group, not this youth. I mean, first service, I told this story. People were like, anyway, I'll explain that in a minute. But you know what? But we used to, when I was in the youth group a while back ago, we used to go up there. Pastor George, can you imagine this? We'd go up to camp to, you know what, learn about God and stuff like that. And all the guys would sneak out. We went up to winter camp. All the guys would sneak out and smoke marijuana. What the heck is that? Why would you do that? Well, why do you think we did that? Because we were told by the spiritual leaders, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. How many know you told you're a sinner? How many know sinners sin? And we sinned, amen? We did. We did. Because that's just, and we thought that was just, oh well. Can I tell you what? Exactly, saved by grace. You know, that's just what. Hey, guys, listen, you, if you're born again, take off, the Bible says, the old nature. Put it off. Reckon yourself dead to that stuff. That's the issue. I'll show you one more scripture and I'll shut. I'll close. Because here's what I want you to know. I want you to know it doesn't have to be one against two. It doesn't even have to be two against one. Before I go there, let me say one more thing. Let me address anger. Some of you, you fly off the handle at anything. And you're creating a mess in your home. And it's not okay. And God says to you today, you don't have to do that, but you're going to have to stop identifying with the old nature. You know what's funny? Because every nationality identifies with the anger. Well, I'll tell you, what do you expect? Perhaps I'm just Italian. You know, Italians, you know how Italians are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you ever heard this? Have you heard that? Well, you know what? I'm Irish. You know, Irish. You know, Irish. Irish people. That's how they. You know, I'm German. I'm German. You know what I mean? You know what? Or Latino. Oh, I'm taking that, man. I'm Latino. Wait a minute. And it's all this idea. What has Satan been able to do? He's been able to identify, and you take a hold of that, and you won't let go. That is who you are. And what I'm saying is, Paul says, I won't identify with that. Let me tell you what I've done. I've wronged no one. Here's why. Because I'm new. All that old stuff, I don't even know who that was. That person died. All things have become new. Now, can I show you one more thing? Because I hear so much talk on the radio about your flesh. Let me show you a portion of scripture that can totally set you free. Totally set you free. Because your flesh is trainable. Amen. You want me to show it to you? How many want 3-0? Let me show you that. Hebrews, we'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 5. Starting with verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation. Interesting point to all who obey him. Can I tell you what? If you're a Christian, don't mess up your theology, you need to obey Christ. Amen. But watch this. Next verse. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Next verse. Of whom we have much to say, but watch this, and hard to explain, not because we can't explain it. The word of God is simple, but here's the problem. Since you have become dull in your hearing. Next verse. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, we need to teach you again the first principles and the oracles of God, and you have become of need, come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes, stay here, guys. For everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now stop here. Everyone who partakes in that is they're unskilled. So here's what happens. We have people who come to church. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope he's not talking to you. And you come to church, but you're not skilled. Here's why. Because you're not reading the Bible. Every day. Everybody say every day. So you're not renewing your mind to who you are. You don't know who you are. You identify with the wrong thing. And then I try to teach you something, and you're just like, it just goes over your head because there's so much carnality going on. It's hard to get it in. So as a teacher, I've got to go back to really, really basic principles because there's such a carnality in people. Okay. And I hope that doesn't apply to anybody. But here's what I want to say. Notice, Paul does this all the time. He talks about this and then he compares it to this. Right now, he's going to compare the baby Christians to the not baby Christians. So I want to show you this. Watch this. Next verse. But, everybody say but. Say all eyes up here. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be babies. You don't have to be, I don't get it. It's just so hard for me. You don't have to be that way. Watch this. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Full age is not how long you've been coming to church. That some, listen, some of the interns are more mature believers than other people who've been coming to church for 8 years or 18 years. So it doesn't have to do with age. It has to do with your willingness to open yourself up to the Word of God. That is, those who by reason of use, every say reason of use, have their senses. Now, this isn't talking about your spirit. This isn't even talking about your soul. This is talking about your body. Are you catching this? Have their senses exercised, every say exercised, to discern both good and evil. See, we've been told that your flesh just has to gravitate to the evil. But I submit to you, according to the Word of God, that if you will train your flesh, you can train your flesh to gravitate to what is good. To be able to discern it and discern and say, watch, all eyes up here. That's evil. I don't want that evil. I want good. How do you do that? By reason, look what it says, by reason of use. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. I don't know what it means, but it's good. No, listen, I know what it means. Everybody say, by reason of use. Here's what that means. That means when you go to the mall, you are not playing ping pong. I never go to the mall and play ping pong. Well, let me illustrate. You go to the mall and you, Okay. Guys, don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. Versus, watch this, I'm going to give you by reason of use. By reason of use. See, you making a decision. You know, Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. He's waking up in the morning and he's saying, let me tell you what I'm going to do today. I'm only going to be loyal to my wife. Period. And I'm not going to let my eyes tell me what to do. I'm going to tell my eyes what to do. Can I tell you what? You can tell your body what to do. Your body will follow what you decide if you want to tell your body what to do. So by reason of use, by reason of use, by reason of use, and that's different. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Guys, you can do whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you what, lust will jack you up. It'll ruin your family. For many people who won't listen to this, their families will be ruined. Listen to me. You'll lose your job. Your finances will fly off. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, describes this like an ox going to slaughter. It describes this. What's the ox do? The ox is thinking it just like it's done day after day after day after day. He thinks he's in the lunch line. Ooh, I'm going to lunch. Ooh, I'm going to lunch. Ooh, I'm going. Guess what? There'll be a day and you'll think, ooh, I'm going to lunch. And you won't be going to lunch. You know where you'll be going to? You'll be going to slaughter. The Bible says that lust will spear your vital organs. By reason of use. You know what? You can make a decision that you are not going to lust. You can get that body by use. By use. Listen, I've been in bondage and I've been free. And God has shown me how to get free. I started praying, God, help me to love what you love and hate what you hate. I recognized I loved what God hated. That's messed up. And I started praying by the Holy Spirit. He said, here's how you're going to do. Here's how you're going to get out of your mess. You're going to start praying that you would get in line with the Spirit of God. And it didn't happen overnight, but I'm telling you, it happened. I can go home to my wife and look her in the face and know that all day, you know what? I only desired her. And I can look at you in the face and tell you that. But there was a day that I couldn't. How'd you get out of it?
Well, first I got the soul over to this side, and then I started training the body. If there was something that was lustful, something that was sane, I would learn. And it happened, you know what, after I started to identify that as bad, not good. But after that happened a while, I started looking away just that quick. And then you know what I recognize? Because the Holy Spirit will help you. You know what I recognize? I can close my eyes faster than I can turn my head. How'd you get that? Holy Spirit showed me. This true story. One day, I saw something that I thought was inappropriate, and I closed my eyes, and I recognized, that's better. See, can I tell you what? The Holy Spirit wants you to succeed. Now, listen. All I'm suggesting to you is somebody learning some stuff today. All I'm suggesting to you, if you change your mind, you can get on the right side. You can get, your spirit is already on the right side, but you can get your soul over here, and you can even get your body to become in agreement with this. And when that happens, can I tell you what's going to happen? You're going to live a life of victory in your life. And I'm not saying that you can't get lazy and have these two guys return over here, because you can. But I'm saying you don't have to live defeated lives. If it's lust, you don't have to be defeated. If it's, you know, getting high, you don't have to be defeated. You know what? If it's anger, you don't have to be defeated. If it's selfishness, you don't have to be defeated. But you do have to do some things that are going to get you out of your mess. You do have to stop having it one against two. And I would submit to you and say, don't even have it two against one. Have it three against none.
Okay, Pastor said, he said, I can't feed you every week. But actually, I mean, he can feed you every week, and he does feed you every week if you allow yourself to be fed and come here. But I think what he actually meant was he can't be your only meal every week. Could you imagine if the only time that you physically ate is if you came and fed your spirit? I mean, we wouldn't even dream of feeding our mouth just twice a week. Just on Wednesdays and just on Sundays. Just for an hour. But if we did do that, if we ended up just feeding our spirit the way we... If we would feed our body just like we feed our spirit. And that's if you're not forsaking the gathering of the brethren and you're submitting yourself to that. Then you're getting more food than many get. Does that make sense? We wouldn't even dream of treating our physical bodies like that. Mm-mm. And yet, to treat our spiritual nourishment like that, you kind of see it. Don't you? I am, what in the heck happened to my notes? They're just like gone. Do you see them? Huh. Isn't that fascinating? I don't know what happened. Let me see if it's there if I do this. Nope. Okay. So as Pastor was preaching, I heard this. You know what? As he said, he was talking about how to walk in victory in this one against three. And the Lord said, you know what? There's things that are in, or people that are in my slot. The Bible tells us we're to come to God daily. That's why we say we read our Bible every day. Because we know that feeding of our spirit is far more important, according to our Lord, than the feeding of our flesh. But we don't miss our meals, you know, physically, but we have a tendency to miss our meals spiritually. So how do we miss them? Because we put people and stuff and things in God's slot. Listen to a couple of scriptures. This one's in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Look at the possession God takes. You know what I mean? We made covenant with him. Just like when we make covenant in marriage. I did not expect the day that we got married that the following week he'd have a date with somebody else. Right? When we make covenant with someone, we expect that we're in covenant, do we not? And we get kind of possessive about that, right? This is right, that is wrong, you shouldn't, and you should, and this is true. We're in covenant with God. Amen. When we become his. And he is possessive about, he understands it better than we do. But we need to make sure we understand it. It's not negotiable. We need to understand it the way he understands it and line up with that. Does that make sense? So be sure that if we're wanting to walk in victory, then we need to take things and people and stuff out of our lives. There's stuff that's only so many hours in the day. We all have the same amount of hours. And we need to make sure that God is given his time, his portion, that we get daily bread by spending time with him, that the more we put in, the more victorious we'll be, the quicker we can conquer ground in our life. So we could just find some time in the morning with him. You know what? We say here at the church a chapter a day. We try and read a chapter a day together. We're all in the same Bible reading plan. It's in the Hope app. You can pick up a hard copy of it if you want to out at the information center. But we try and read our Bible together every day, same place. Well, you could read more if you want to. We have a where you can read the Old Testament as well as the New Testament if you want to. You know, maybe you want to put some more in. You know what? Maybe, you know what, you don't just come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, but then you sign up for OSL. You're putting some more in. Maybe you don't just do Sundays and Wednesdays, but then you've kind of made sure that, well, I used to call it the 80-20 rule with my kids. We'd 80% Christian music, 20% other kinds of music. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about ugly music, all right? But you know what I'm saying? Just something that Christian music is feeding your spirit. It's edifying. It's helping you set your mind on the way that God thinks and the way that he says that things should be. And so that's feeding your spirit. So you could just listen to Christian music. We got to where we don't really watch a whole lot of stuff. It's either Christian television or we have a couple of comedies that we watch. You know what? But we don't really watch, you know what I mean? And so it's usually, that means that's a lot of Christian television going in. That's feeding my spirit. The quicker you... The more you feed your spirit, the quicker you're going to get to where God, you know what, is trying to take you. So we can make up time. You know what? Some of us are way off track from where God wants us. But God is able to redeem that time and get us right back, you know what, as we just grab hold and begin to submit ourselves to what he says. Amen? Amen. Amen. The last thing I want to share with you is just what for husbands and wives in the room. This morning as I was getting ready, the Holy Spirit just quickened me that husbands and wives should be praying together daily. And I don't know if you do that or not in your marriage, but if you don't, let me encourage you that you do it. You don't need to find, you know what, you don't need to have a 7-hour prayer fest. You know what I mean? It'll never happen if that's what we're trying to do, and we all know that. But to close your day together or to begin your day together praying as a couple, and I'm going to put that on the husbands. You know what? I will guarantee you that every woman in the room right now is going, yes. There's something in us that we want that from our husbands. So the onus is on the husbands. Husbands, go to your wife and tell them, you know what? Let's be sure we do that. And then practically figure out how that happens. You know what? If someone's working night shift and someone's working early morning, then, you know what I mean? Depending on how we intersect, that might be, morning might be a good time or it might be a bad time. But you all know your schedules. Figure it out. Talk with your wife and say, yeah, let's make sure we do that. And all you need to do is come in agreement together with the Lord. First of all, you know what? Let's thank him for giving us the Holy Spirit. And then whatever else is coming up, pray over your children. Pray over your household. Don't forget to pray Psalms 91 over your family. You know what? Begin to thank God for what he's doing in our lives. Begin to submit this year to him and what this year is going to hold. Father, thank you for the plans that you have for this year. Thank you that you'll lead us and guide us and direct us. Just begin to pray together, whatever that looks like. You know what? And it could take less than a minute. But it is so powerful when we do that. Amen? It's going to bring an intimacy to your relationship that you cannot have without doing that. You're missing something. You're missing something. So if you're hearing my voice, then speak with your wife today and say, hey, you know what? Where can we implement that? How can we implement that? What's a good plan for us? Okay? And I just encourage you that by the Spirit of the Lord this morning, that is something that he wanted me to share with you. Okay, that concludes our service today. I hope you guys got some good spiritual food that you're going to be able to take with you and add to it this week. Amen.